Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Mile 1,298. You're new to this whole EV thing, but those range fears? Way overblown. Because your all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 gets you to work and back all week on a single charge. When it comes to embracing change, Hyundai's thinking of every mile. Hyundai, it's your journey. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2024 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions and habits, vehicle and batteries condition and other factors. Available in limited quantities in select states only.
Let's be real. Hair removal? Not exactly a spa day. But Nair's new sensational shower and body creams will make it feel like one. Nair's new and improved formulas, featuring fragrances like Moroccan Argan Oil and Orange Blossom and Aloe and Water Lily, smell amazing, taking hair removal to the next level. Plus, Nair is easy to apply and works in just 3 minutes, leaving you with smoother skin that lasts days longer than shaving. So check out the new and improved sensational body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Dare to smell Nair. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
It's the final week of the regular season in most leagues. Let's talk to the pros. Hello, everybody, and welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. My name is Ryan Warmly. I do social media here at Fantasy Pros, and joining me today are some awesome guests, as usual. First up, it's Fantasy Pros analyst Kyle Yates. Yates, 1 week left in most leagues. How are you feeling?
Doing good, man. This is the time where it's actually really interesting. I was looking across some of my leagues right now, and there are several spots, several leagues where the difference between the one seed and like the 10 seed is super, super close. And I don't know if I've ever seen that playing fantasy football, especially this year. Like, it is just so close. And this is such a crucial week where a lot of decisions, a lot of playoff decisions are going to get made here this week. So I am excited, ready to dive in. And of course, I always love talking to our guest here.
Yeah, it's been a fluky year, so it seems sort of fitting that there would be such jumbled standings. I am also excited to talk to our guest, also joining us today, a Dynasty Wizard, which is great because with 1 week left in the regular season, a lot of folks are already looking ahead to 2022. We've got Ray Garvin. Ray, same question. How are you feeling entering most leagues' final week?
First of all, I'm happy to be here. And the leagues where I actually have a chance to make the playoffs or sitting in the playoffs, I'm just like thankful because injuries and non-performance, this has been, I think we say it every year. Like we say this every year. I can't remember a fantasy season like this in a very long time where literally the first round of fantasy drafts is just gone. They've done nothing. They've been hurt. Half of the second round of your fantasy drafts are injured or hurt. So I'm just thankful that my 7-6 teams, my 6-7 teams still have a shot heading into the final week. So excited to talk today.
Yeah, if you make the playoffs in your fantasy leagues this season, you definitely earned it. There were no gimmies in 2021. We are set to have a great show today. Just a little housekeeping. Today, we'll be picking some league winners at every position, some stash-worthy defenses, and of course, some dynasty talk. Like I said, we'll begin looking ahead to that 2022 rookie class, and also makes us feel, you know, older than dirt, the fact that we're already talking about a 2022 rookie class. But first, I want to make sure the listeners can find the three of us online. Yates' Twitter handle is at KyleYNFL. Ray is at RayGQ, which is Q-U-E, and I can be found at Ryan Warmly. And of course, you can find Fantasy Pros all over the internet at Fantasy Pros. I also want to make sure everybody knows about our free giveaway contest for the month of December. Fantasy Pros is giving away a free signed Alvin Kamara jersey, and it is super easy to enter. The only thing you have to do is subscribe to our YouTube channel and submit a screenshot at fantasypros.com/contest. That is it. Again, just subscribe to our channel at youtube.com/fantasypros, take a screenshot, and submit it to fantasypros.com/contest. Also throughout December, we'll be giving you a sampling of some Dynasty content each Tuesday on this podcast. But if you yearn for more in-depth Dynasty content, please check out the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast, hosted by none other than Kyle Yates, of course. Each week, he and a guest will share their thoughts on next year's free agent class, their Dynasty rankings entering the offseason, the 2022 rookie class, and so much more. So check out the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Monday Night Football Recap.
Fellas, let's jump into Monday Night Football. I really don't know where to begin on this one. It was a crazy game. It was a bad game. It was a fun game. Whatever it was pretty interesting to watch. Patriots win 14-10. Based on the chatter that was going on between the two of you before we started the show, it seems to me like we should start with Mac Jones. So that's exactly what we'll do. A whopping 2 completions on 3 attempts for 19 yards and the win. Yates, I will give you the floor first. Mac Jones, what's your takeaway here?
All right. So you guys know the movie Draft Day, right? And there's the Kevin Costner's character. He like writes down on that like post-it note. He's like, Vontae Mack, no matter what, right? And Bill Belichick going into that game with all the wind and the weather was like, don't let Mac throw the ball no matter what. That's kind of what we had here. And I mean, it's crazy. Like they literally walked out of this with the victory somehow. I don't understand how that happened, but Mac Jones, this is so funny because we booked Ray for this show before, you know, the Monday night game. And then I woke up this morning, saw that he had 3 total pass attempts and just started laughing because I was like, I cannot wait to talk about this with Ray. This is the difference with Mac Jones, right? It's that the arm strength is just not what it's going to be to be able to throw in these types of weather games. And they were able to rely on their run game. And it's funny too, because we had Mac Jones, which was a huge running joke between Ray and I. Throughout the last season's Dynasty podcast, I was on one side of it, Ray was on the other, and then Ramondre Stevenson on the other side of it, where I was a fan of Ramondre, Ray was not. And so now we had both of these kind of going back and forth. So last night was very entertaining. Very entertaining from our perspective, not from an actual football perspective, but 3 total pass attempts. Mac Jones, everyone.
Yeah, there was some talk online right as the game was getting going where some people were having a debate about should every NFL game just be played in a dome? Should every team just build domes? And I'm firmly against that. I wouldn't want this every week. Obviously, it does sort of take away from the product, like if it were to happen all the time. But every once in a while, a game like that that everybody can get on board with and basically say, we're probably just going to throw this out like anyways. We don't really have any major takeaways. Like, I think that's just fun, Ray.
I thought about that too. I was thinking, like, should every team play inside a dome to avoid those situations? But there's something about the, you know, Soldier Field. There's something about playing outdoors, the nostalgia there, you know, the old days Candlestick Park. Here's what I'll say to every, this, it's mind blowing to me. 50 mile per hour gusts. And as big of an arm as Josh Allen had, he was 15 for 30 for 145. So, Let's calm down a little bit. It's not like Josh Allen was out there lighting up the Patriots, going for 330, 500 passing yards. Stephon Diggs dropped a beautiful one in the end zone. But like, let's not get it twisted here. Why on earth, as an NFL team, would you even attempt to throw the ball in those conditions when you were picking up 6, 7, 8 yards? They could not stop New England. So who cares? Okay, this was a game that if you went into everybody who was upset about Mac Jones not throwing the ball, they probably started him in a league or had some crazy prop bet on. Why on earth would they have even attempted to throw the ball when the kickers from the 10-yard line were booting the ball and it would go like this and go straight up and come back? I mean, let's, like, come on, man. I would give you more credit if it were inside and he was throwing and just got outdueled. It was outside, 50 mile per hour winds. What did you expect? Josh Allen, biggest arm in the NFL, 145 passing yards. Let's stop now. Let's not do that with Mac. This is not the game you want to hang your flag on to say, I told you so about Mac Jones. Right. No way.
I almost wish he had made 0 pass attempts. They had literally truly committed to an entire rush offense and that's nothing else. Damian Harris, of course, did have 10 attempts, 111 yards, 64-yard touchdown. He did leave with the injury. Ramondre Stevenson, 24 attempts for 78 yards. Obviously, like you said, I mean, the Bills they knew every play was going to be a rush attempt. Everybody kept waiting for the big play action to finally get him after rushing for two straight quarters. But, I mean, Yates, again, it is hard to sort of take away anything real from this game, but did you have anything on the two running backs for Patriots?
No, and you're absolutely correct, Ray. Like, this is, yes, we're having some fun here. We're talking about Mac Jones, but you're absolutely correct. Like, we take this game from a statistical standpoint with Mac Jones, Ramondre Stevenson, Damian Harris, like, all of these guys, all the receiving options. People were excited about Kendrick Bourne coming into this game. It's like, all of these players, we just go, okay, like, this game is irrelevant. Even Buffalo's side of the ball, we just say, like, this game is irrelevant because of the weather. So, it's going to be baked in with their, like, final stats of the year. It'll bring down the statistical averages and everything like that. But this is really one of the games where it's very difficult to sit here and say, yes, we have concrete evidence to say, like, okay, this is what we can take away, because they're really, what are you going to do? What are you going to do in 50 mile per hour winds, especially in Buffalo, where it's freezing cold already at this time of year? So yeah, like, there are very few things that we can take away from it. Just having a little fun with the Mac Jones side there.
Yeah, and Yates, I don't think you want to take everything away from this game, because Jonnu Smith did have a 33% target share, led the team,
led the team in receiving yards.
I mean, that's kind of a breakout game for Jonnu.
We'll call it a breakout. Yep, I'll take what I can get in 2021 from Jonnu.
I do think, and Kyle, to your credit, and I give you credit, because you took a lot of heat, a lot of it dashed out by me with Ramondre Stevenson. I get that he only averaged 3.3 yards a carry. I believe at one point in time, they ran him 8 straight times. He looked gassed, and they just kept running the ball because there was no chance Mac was going to throw it. But when you're facing a 9-man front, a 10-man front, and every time Ramondre Stevenson touches the ball, man, good things happen. This young man can play football. He can play football. We may talk about him a little bit later. But I think a takeaway from this one is Ramondre Stevenson's really good. When he gets the ball, that young man can play. And he showed me that last night.
Yeah, and a lot of his efficiency metrics, even with this very volume-heavy game, or like you said, just over 3 yards a carry, a lot of his efficiency metrics are still among the best in football in the last month, even with this game being accounted for one of those. So he's definitely been running really well. Before we move on from the game, I do just want to touch on the Bills running backs real quick, because as we keep talking about, this was a game where you were just going to run all the time, and yet they still didn't even really commit to running all the time. Singletary had 10 rushes for 36 yards. Zach Moss, 8 rushes for 21 yards. Yates, I'll start with you on these two. Do you foresee yourself starting either of these guys at any point in the final month of the fantasy season?
We talked about coming into Sunday on live streams and on the Friday podcast before. We said, like, with Singletary, with Matt Breida, they were kind of hovering around that mid-range RB3 territory. I think I had Singletary at RB29 and Breida at RB31 on the week. And it was like, well, here's the thing. With them playing Monday night, we could also get to Monday and Zach Moss is active. And watching that game throughout the first quarter, I was like, why aren't they giving Zach Moss the ball? Because this is the type of running back who is built for these windy weather games. Like, you just get the ball to him on the ground. And so, yeah, I think now this is really a situation. It was a situation where I didn't want to invest in, period. And now, especially now that we have all three of these guys active, it's one that I'm just completely running away from.
Ray, what's your comfort level with the Bills running game?
Outside of Josh Allen, zero. I'll take my 35 rushing yards from Josh Allen and call it a day. With all the other running backs, honestly, you're banking on a touchdown because you're not going to get consistent volume from any one of the three. So you're just rolling the dice to hopefully one of those running backs scores you a rushing touchdown. And we know what happens when Buffalo gets inside the 3-yard line. It's a heavy dose of Josh Allen. So I am not comfortable with any of the three.
I'm pretty sure anybody who was in Buffalo last night would be really excited to hit the beach sometime soon. And that's why I'd like to take a second to tell you about one of today's sponsors, Beachbound. They're an online travel agency with expertise in worldwide beach vacations, and they're reinventing beach experiences. It's a one-stop travel shop for flights, hotels, transfers, and excursions. In life, we're all bound for different things. With beachbound.com vacations, you can be bound for adventure, bound for passion, bound for discovery, or bound for togetherness, bound for immersion, bound for rejuvenation, or maybe bound for encountering the unexpected. Personally, when I'm at a beach resort, I'm bound to end up at the poolside bar, or beachfront bar, or dockside bar, or you get the idea. As long as you've got good views and a good drink in my hand, I'll be happy as can be. With beachbound.com, you can find the perfect beach vacation for you, no matter what you're looking for. So what are you bound for? Let's move on to the league winners, and we're going to start with the running backs because this is obviously the position that people spend the most time thinking about. This is the position that you're most likely to see one of those Todd Gurley-esque December runs that can really vault you to a fantasy championship. Yates, I will start with you. Who is your league winner at running back for the December run of 2021?
Yeah, and it would be very easy for us to come on here and just say, like, Jonathan Taylor, but that's not exactly the point of the exercise here. It's to call our shots here and say, who are these players that are going to be the true league winners? And we think back to, you mentioned, like, Todd Gurley, but we also think about Jonathan Taylor from last year, David Montgomery from last year. I think that's kind of what we need to think about as these guys who have a very, very solid run to the end of the schedule. I'm going to highlight Antonio Gibson. Since coming off of their week 9 bye, Gibson is averaging 27 and a quarter touches per game. 3 of his past 4 games have resulted in 20 or more half PPR fantasy points, and he now has matchups up against Philadelphia, Dallas, and then Philadelphia again in the fantasy playoffs. The Eagles are currently allowing 15.9 fantasy points per game to the position, and Dallas is allowing the second fewest fantasy points to the position with 13.5 per game, but Gibson's workload doesn't make me scared off of that matchup. So we look at the schedule here for Antonio Gibson. We look at the workload. JD McKissick probably not going to be back anytime soon. And even if he does come back, we're seeing them feature him as a receiver, right? They're getting him heavily involved in the receiving game, which is something that we have been clamoring for as fantasy managers over the past couple of years. So Antonio Gibson moving forward, you were able to get him at a discount a few weeks ago. That is no longer the case. And I think he's gearing up to be able to help carry fantasy managers to a championship this year.
Yeah, I really want to hammer home these touch totals because it is really outlandish in this era. In the last 4 weeks, like you mentioned, since the bye, 24 rushing attempts, 19, 29, and 23. And also in the last 2 weeks, he has 12 catches. So he is touching the ball like really in a way that we haven't seen a running back do in recent years outside of like the true Derrick Henrys of the world. It's just not the way the game is played anymore. Do you think that he is somebody who has like top 5 running back potential the rest of season, or is he just somebody that you're picking because of where you might have gotten him in the draft? He's going to just give a lot of value here late in the year.
I think it's like where you got him in the draft, but also like what you could have traded for him, because you go back to before that bye week, people just wanted Antonio Gibson off their roster. So I think that's part of it where you are no longer like depending on him as a top 12 option, but you could have gotten him as a low end RB2, depending on the situation in your league. But then it is looking at the upside that he has, because how can we not look at those touch totals and say that he doesn't have top 5 upside? Like, no matter the matchups, if you're getting 27 and a quarter touches per game, you're going to be a borderline top 5 play. And we no longer have Christian McCaffrey. Dalvin Cook is injured. Like, these top workhorse guys that would be in that top 5 conversation are out of it. So it's like Jonathan Taylor, and then it's kind of, all right, who else is going to step into that void? And I think that Antonio Gibson is going to be that guy.
Ray, how many yards is Antonio Gibson going to rush for against the Cowboys this week?
Listen, you see I've got a Micah Parsons jersey on, so you will not get a truthful answer out of me. But I agree with Yates. The fact that people really wanted Antonio Gibson off of their roster a few weeks ago, I'm with that call of Antonio Gibson. He's getting featured more and more. And the fact that we saw him do it in the receiving game is that's what we were waiting for. And there you go. There's your blueprint, Washington. Don't stray away from it.
Ray, who's your running back that you would pick as a league winner here to end 2021?
Yeah, I'm going to go all the way to the West Coast, and I'm going to talk about a team who we've got the potential to see a potential quarterback change, and I think they should do it. You know, the season, they're still teetering on playoff hopes, but the San Francisco 49ers running back, Elijah Mitchell, he's sort of been one of these players that I don't think a lot of people believed in early with his week 1 success versus Detroit. But when you look at Elijah Mitchell over his last 3 games, 22 carries, 27 carries, another 27 carries, 5 targets, 6 targets, 5 receptions, 3 targets, 3 receptions. He's doing it on the ground and he's starting to get more involved through the air. Now, I know right now he's dealing with some concussion protocol type symptoms, but his next couple of games, he's got the Bengals, the Falcons, the Titans, the Texans. I want that. I want those matchups from a player who is the lead running back. You know, people were scared off of Jamichael Hasty and Jeff Wilson is back. And well, what if Trey Sermon gets on the field? Not happening, ain't happening, no way it's happening. Elijah Mitchell is the guy in San Francisco. And with Deebo Samuel battling that groin injury right now, They just need to get their playmakers and weapons the ball. And I started this off by saying a potential quarterback change. Once San Francisco, if they become mathematically eliminated, why not see what you have in the rookie quarterback? And what Trey Lance will do for Elijah Mitchell is hold linebackers, make safeties think, opening up some running lanes for Elijah Mitchell. So I think there's a couple of things that could really, really boom Elijah Mitchell's stock towards the end of the season. And my goodness, you're talking about a fantasy championship matchup versus the Texans. Sign me up with Elijah Mitchell. Absolutely a league winner this year.
I was going to say, you really can't hammer home enough the fact that that Texans matchup comes in week 17, which will be championship week for most leagues this season. And yeah, Mitchell, it's one of those things where basically from week one, really from day one, since Kyle Shanahan has been a head coach, you find yourself saying, if he ever fully committed to a running back, and in the occasions when he does, you want that running back on your fantasy roster. And for as much as, yes, he wasn't the running back they drafted first this year, and fans didn't necessarily know his name coming into the season, at least fans outside of San Francisco, it is pretty abundantly clear at this point that he is the number one guy in San Francisco whenever he's healthy. The workload shows that. So, I mean, Yates, I just want to ask you too, like, is he sort of similar question with Gibson? Top 5-7 upside with all the other running back injuries we're seeing?
I mean, again, it's kind of the similar argument with the workload. If you look at Elijah Mitchell's touch totals, which Ray just alluded to, it's like, how can we not put that guy at least in the conversation? And yeah, I think that, you know, we've got to clear the concussion issues here. That's something that we got to watch, and we got to be able to get past that, to be able to say, like, he's going to be on the field and he's going to be a league winner. But when he is on the field, absolutely, he is going to just smash. And again, that week 17 matchup up against Houston, this has been Ray's guy all offseason and into this season. This was someone who we had major questions, right? Because coming into the combine, he was listed at like 230 and then completely cut his weight, ran a blazing 40-yard dash. So we just did not know what we were going to get with this guy. It's pretty clear what we've got, and that he is, I think, the best talent at the running back position here in San Francisco.
I wrote down a couple of other names I wanted to ask you guys about at this position. And one of them is Javonte Williams, which almost seems too easy after the breakout game we saw on Sunday. But there is still the question mark of how much work will Melvin Gordon get. Of course, Vic Fangio is giving us all the wrong answers that we want to hear after the performance like that. But it was just one of those things where it was so electrifying to watch that how could you not think of him as somebody that's going to absolutely bust out? It's just really hard to imagine the Broncos dialing back on his workload after seeing what everybody saw in a primetime game this weekend. I mean, again, just the upside, I think, is clearly there if Gordon isn't going to get the touches. Yates, I know that you had your own run-ins with Melvin Gordon before about this very topic.
yeah, I had. And you bring that up at any chance that you can get to mention it. Yeah, with Javonte Williams, yes, of course. This has been the thing that we've been saying all season long, and that why people have held on to Javonte Williams in their rosters on their teams has been because of what happened this past week. When he gets the opportunity, when he gets the workload, he can be incredibly productive. But the question becomes, what happens with Melvin Gordon? If Gordon is back and healthy, I think we go right back to a 50-50 split. Maybe we see it edge slightly to Javonte Williams this time around, but I don't think that we are going to see, unless we see Melvin Gordon declared out for next week and potentially land on IR or whatever, and it doesn't sound like that's the issue, then, you know, I don't think that I'm ready to call Javonte Williams a league winner just because of the coaching staff.
And one other name that I wrote down, just trying to look a little lower in the rankings, and a guy that, like, you're really taking a chance on here, and that was Miles Sanders. And again, I know there's the own injury issues with him as well, but he's gotten decent work this season, at least since he's come back from the injury. He still does not have a touchdown this year, which, he's too talented of a guy to not have that. So do you think, Ray, there's any chance that we see some touchdown regression and he starts scoring to end the season? Or is this just sort of a lost year for him in terms of fantasy production?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go as far to say Miles Sanders as a league winner. I just think there's so much uncertainty with that Eagles backfield, and that starts with the quarterback, and then you've got Miles Sanders, but then they want to work in Kenneth Gainwell, but Jordan Howard's back this week. I just think there's too much there for me to really, if I had him and he was a flex play and it happened, then fine. But I don't think I could bank on Miles Sanders being a league winner for me. And I wouldn't recommend that. I understand the play. I just wouldn't recommend that down the stretch.
Now, guys, when things aren't going so well for our teams, it can get pretty stressful. Everybody has their own tricks for staying calm amidst the madness and stress, whether it's resting, meditation, spending time with friends, or anything else you might enjoy. But I want to tell you about a method that you might not have tried yet, and that's Feels, a better way to feel better. Their premium CBD is delivered straight to your front door, and it helps you reduce all the nasty stuff like stress, anxiety, pain, all of it. It's not about what you feel, it's about what you don't feel, and oftentimes that can get overlooked. So don't overlook your state of mind and try Feels. If you become a member today, you'll get 40% off your first 3 months with free shipping. And the best part? It doesn't matter if you're a total newbie. Full disclosure, I am completely unfamiliar with CBD oil, or at least I was before I tried Feels, used their totally free hotline to help guide me through the process. They didn't care that I was a beginner, they just wanted me to feel better, and I did. So head to feels.com/pros to get 40% off your first 3 months, plus free shipping. Again, that's feals.com/pros to become a member and get 40% automatically taken off your first 3 months with free shipping. Let's move to the league-winning wide receivers, probably the second most important behind running back, of course. Yates, I will start with you again.
Yeah, let's go to Miami. I would love to go to Miami right now. It's freezing outside here in Michigan, but let's go to Miami and let's go with I think a player that we can call the steal of fantasy drafts this year. Jaylen Waddle has just been absolutely dominant for fantasy rosters since going off the board around like wide receiver 50 in pre-draft ADP. I remember talking with Joe all the time throughout draft season saying, we got to move Jaylen Waddle up ADP. We got to draft Jaylen Waddle. And I believe that he has been the steal of drafts this year. Over the past three games, he has 17, 24, and 14 half PPR points over the last three games. Over that time frame, he's averaging 8.66 receptions, 97.33 receiving yards, and 0.66 touchdowns. He now has, as we look to the fantasy football playoffs, and this is kind of the criteria that we look at for like league winners, right? We don't want to call a league winner a guy who has like matchups against the three toughest opponents, but looking at Miami's schedule, matchups against the Jets, the Saints, and the Titans in the fantasy playoffs. The Saints and the Titans are two of the top six most favorable matchups for opposing wide receivers, and the Jets are middle of the pack when you look at like statistics, but they have just been gashed by running backs, so the numbers are skewed there a little bit, but they cannot guard Jaylen Waddle. He went off earlier on this season when they played. So Jaylen Waddle is one of these guys that if you have him on your roster, you know how good he's been over the past 3 weeks. I think that's only going to continue as they come off their bye week here in week 14.
Are you worried about the lack of touchdowns at all? He had one in week 1, two in week 6, and then one in week 12, but that's been it on the season as far as receiving touchdowns?
I really am not, because he's still providing an extremely high floor, right? Like, he's still one of these guys that is just providing ridiculous target totals. It doesn't matter if Devontae Parker's in the lineup. It doesn't matter what Mike Gesicki is doing week in and week out. Jaylen Waddle is still continuing to provide a very, very solid floor, and he's someone that I think that's only going to continue as we move forward.
I think that's fair. Ray, who's your receiver?
Yeah, and I promise you, this is not a rookie show, but these rookies are showing out. And speaking of Jaylen Waddle, it's amazing how impressive these 2021 rookie wide receivers are. But I'm going to a team that's not very good, but he's the clear alpha in that offense. And I'm going with Elijah Moore of the New York Jets. Right now, Elijah Moore is caught fire with Zach Wilson. And, you know, the Jets aren't playing good football, but when you're talking about in his last five games, he's got five touchdowns. He had a multi-touchdown game versus the Indianapolis Colts. You're talking about eight targets, six targets, 11 targets, eight targets versus Houston in this past Sunday, 12 targets versus the Philadelphia Eagles, six receptions, 77 yards, and a touchdown. It's a tough defensive secondary dealing with Darius Slay, Steven Nelson. We know that Philadelphia's got a pretty tough defense, but the Jets are going to be behind in a lot of the matchups down the stretch when you're talking about the Saints, the Dolphins, the Jaguars, and I know the Tampa Bay Buccaneers looks daunting in week 17, but there's a good chance Tampa Bay has wrapped up that top seed in the NFC, and even if they do play, I'm pretty sure Tom Brady is going to get on top of that Jets team real often and early, which is just going to open the door up for passes galore. Right now, the Jets are sixth in the NFL in pass plays per game, almost 39 pass attempts per game for the New York Jets. And if Elijah Moore is the number one target, don't forget Corey Davis is out for the season. This should bode well for the Jets. The ground game has been hampered without Michael Carter. It's honestly Elijah Moore or bust. You're talking about Jaylen Waddle. I agree with you, Yates. There should be more conversation about Jaylen Waddle being the most productive and best wide receiver in this class. I think for this season, I'm not talking long term, I'm talking about here in 2021, the consistency is there, but Elijah Moore has a really good opportunity to finish out 2021 on an absolute tear on a bad team who's going to throw the ball a ton.
5 touchdowns since week 9 for Elijah Moore. That's more than Waddle has all season, just as a quick comparison. I was going to ask about that week 17 matchup against the Bucs. You already addressed it, so let me ask my second biggest concern with Moore, and that's just the quarterback play in New York has not been good all season, whether it's Flacco or White or whoever. It just hasn't been great. So who are you? Obviously, we think it's Wilson, but how worried are you?
You're chasing the volume. If he's going to get 10 targets, if he's getting 10, 11, 12 targets, honestly, it's opportunity, right? I believe the player's talented enough to, with 10 targets a game, if that's what Elijah Moore is going to get, he's going to be able to do some things on his own. And that's what you're chasing. And let's be honest, that Tampa Bay secondary has been exploited all season long. It comes in week 17. If they get up early, the Jets and Robert Saleh have already shown us they aren't going to kneel the ball and just kill it and try to get out of there. They're going to go down swinging until the final clock strikes zero. So I think Elijah Moore can provide tremendous value down the stretch for fantasy gamers.
I will chime in super quick just to reinforce Ray's point. Over the past 5 weeks, Elijah Moore is the wide receiver 2 in fantasy football, just behind Justin Jefferson. And then he had a 33% target share here in week 13 with Corey Davis out of the lineup. So yes, moving forward, fire up Elijah Moore.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like a league winner to me. One of the names I wrote down is T. Higgins, and I know that early on with all the big touchdowns, Ja'Marr Chase was the receiver source stealing headlines in Cincinnati, and Higgins did miss a couple of games with injury back in weeks 3 and 4, but he's been the guy getting more targets than Chase more weeks than not, and he's been productive the last 2 weeks, 114 receiving yards and a touchdown, then 138 receiving yards and a touchdown. So he, to me, I think is actually a pretty good example of one of those mid-round guys who maybe hasn't been dominant, in fact, far from it this season, but who could really take off here in December as Burrow continues to look his way. I mean, Ray, how do you feel about Higgins?
Did you see my face? I mean, it's... It's beautiful. There are 2 alphas in Cincinnati. I know a lot of people wanted to just put Ja'Marr Chase there and nobody else mattered. Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins are both alphas. And as long as Joe Burrow is going to continue to throw that ball around, we see T. Higgins every single week continue to produce. Love it. Love that call, man.
Yates?
Yeah, I think that based on what Higgins has done the past couple of weeks, I think that we have to put him into that conversation. I'm not familiar with their schedule off the top of my head, so that could play a role in it there. But as far as the volume, that's really the main concern. And I mean, we have that, and then we have the ability. We know that he is going to be able to go up and make contested catches in the end zone, right? Burrow's going to look his way. So yes, absolutely. Higgins moving forward does fall into that category. He's someone that we were down a little bit in the middle of the season. He's now started to rise back up again, and I think he's in that mid-range wide receiver 2 conversation for the rest of the year.
I do have a schedule here. Next 4 weeks are 49ers at Denver, Ravens, Chiefs. That Ravens game in particular, week 16, should be the semifinals in your fantasy playoffs, and they just lost Marlon Humphrey, so that secondary is really, really quite bad, as much as I hate to admit it. Let's move to the league-winning quarterbacks. Yates, who do you have?
I'm going to go with a guy who is only rostered in 17% of Yahoo and ESPN leagues currently, and that is the quarterback for the Chicago Bears, Justin Fields. In weeks 8 and 9, when Fields was starting, he was a top 10 quarterback. He finished as the QB5 on the week and then the QB10. He has matchups up against Minnesota, Seattle, and the Giants in the fantasy playoffs. So with his rushing ability, you try to think this forward and you just say, okay, where am I going to rank Justin Fields as far as those 3 matchups? And he's going to be a borderline top 12 quarterback for me in all 3 of those matchups. And depending on how he does, I think he's going to be one of the guys that has the potential to rise up to like QB8, QB7 in my weekly rankings. So Fields, with his rushing ability, it sounds like he's getting close to returning here. Even if he doesn't play here in week 14, that doesn't really matter. You're not going to be starting him against Green Bay. So if he comes back, then that's fine. You at least have him on your bench. But he's one of these guys that I wanted to put into the league winner conversation because of his rushing ability, because we've seen that he can do it. We saw that he was starting to progress before that injury, the rib injury, and then he has great matchups into the fantasy football playoffs, and you can pick him up off the waiver wire in the majority of leagues. So Justin Fields, a league winner at the quarterback position this year.
Yeah, I think that's pretty bold. I mean, I think of him as more of like a sleeper. I mean, he has only topped 20 points once this season. Of course, it was the one week I sat him in the league I have him, which was unfortunate. But obviously, you know, he was certainly looking better in the weeks leading up to that injury than he had been early on in the season. But it's hard for me. And I know, really talented guy. Obviously, he has the pedigree. Obviously, he's going to be the starter when he's healthy. I guess I shouldn't say obviously, giving Matt Nagy, but we think he's going to be the starter when he's healthy. And he was looking better and has the rushing upside. All that I get, but it's just hard for me to look at a guy that hasn't really performed at a superstar league winning level yet in terms of fantasy production as a guy who's going to do it all of a sudden in December. I mean, do you sure. think that upside really is there?
I do. And I think that it's dependent upon like who you have as the quarterback on your roster, right? If you have one of the top five options, then you're probably, this doesn't really make much of a difference to you. But I, as far as those three matchups specifically, like if we look at that stretch and we say, would I be that surprised if over that 3 week stretch, Justin Fields is a top five quarterback? I really wouldn't be like, if he's the QB5 throughout that 3 week stretch, I really wouldn't be that surprised because of that rushing ability and the upside that he was presenting. Again, two top 10 quarterback finishes on the week in weeks 8 and 9 when he was really starting to get going.
Ray, who's your quarterback?
Yeah, I'm going to go a different route because this quarterback will not give you anything on the ground. But here's my strategy. When I'm looking at this point of the fantasy season, I need to make sure a quarterback is not going to lose me my playoff matchup, right? I wanted to say Jalen Hurts, but for reasons that we do not have enough time to get into today, I'm not going to go with Jalen Hurts, but I'm going to go with Captain Kirk Cousins. How you like that? Do you like that? Kirk Cousins. Cousins right now is on a tear. And if I told you, do you know Kirk Cousins only has 3 interceptions on the season right now and is quietly playing his best football of his career? This is a quarterback that I have no concerns about losing me a game. Now, he did possibly lose his second best wide receiver for the remainder of the regular season in Adam Thielen, but Kirk Cousins has been consistent. He's 11th in points per game for the fantasy football quarterback position. He's not turning the ball over, and he's got Justin Jefferson to throw the ball to. I know that in his Week 17 matchup, he gets the Green Bay Packers playing like the best team in the NFC. But Kirk Cousins already destroyed Green Bay to the tune of 341 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions. So in my opinion, he's got a pretty safe floor with a nice ceiling baked in there, getting Justin Jefferson involved, Conklin playing better. We know Dalvin Cook is out. I think a lot of the rest of the Viking season is going to fall on the shoulders and arm of Kirk Cousins. And I'm okay with their schedule. They've got Pittsburgh, Chicago, the Rams. Now the Rams sound real scary, but that defense, not so much. And then the Green Bay Packers in week 17. So if you're kind of in QB purgatory and Kirk Cousins is sitting out there on the waiver wire, people afraid of that end of the season matchup, I'm perfectly fine with rolling Kirk Cousins out there. To me, he's almost as set it and forget it as a quarterback as you get in this 2021 season.
Yeah, I like a lot of what you're saying. I will just point out that Packers Week 17 matchup is in Green Bay when he torched them earlier this year. That was in Minnesota. So obviously a little bit different there. I mean, outside of Buffalo, Green Bay is probably the place I would most expect to potentially have snow in December. So that is obviously a concern. But you're right. He has been, it's hard to say underrated at this point because it's been going on so long. But he's been pretty good this season. I mean, it's really hard to complain with his play so far. Yates, I just want to get your opinion on him. What do you think about Cousins?
You said like a guy who is not going to lose your week, and that's exactly what Kirk Cousins is doing. Did you know that Cousins has finished outside the top 15 quarterbacks just once since week 5? Like, he has just been incredibly, incredibly consistent so far for fantasy lineups. So, yes, I think that at this point we have to view Cousins as one of these guys that you can feel very, very comfortable plugging into your starting lineup and knowing that you're going to get a solid stat line out of him.
Real quick, I'll just mention one name that I wrote down, and that's Justin Herbert. And obviously, he's one of the more famous guys that we could be talking about right now because he was the second year everybody expected the true leap into superstardom. And he certainly had a couple performances this season that have looked like that. But there also was a bit of a lull in the middle of the year. He really struggled against the Ravens. He struggled against the Patriots. He struggled against the Vikings. So there haven't been the consistent, like, we're going to see 30 points from him week in and week out. But just to read off his schedule, Giants, Chiefs, Texans in week 17, and the Broncos at home in week 17. So I think he's a guy that could, you know, really, I don't want to say take the leap because we've certainly seen greatness out of him before, but could have a more consistently great December. I think there's a chance of that. Ray, how do you feel about Herbert?
Yeah, I mean, it's Justin freaking Herbert, man. Yes, and then the fact that he started to give you something outside of last Sunday, surprising, only 6 yards on the ground, but he's running the ball as well. And if you're talking about quarterback, those 22 yards, those 31 rushing yards, a potential rushing touchdown, that's what helps you win. You know, when he's going to throw for 300 and give you 22 yards on the ground and potentially a rushing touchdown, you got to love Justin Herbert. Yeah, I'm with you, man.
Now, I know the listeners are hoping to win some of the cool gear we're giving away with the help of our friends at Pristine Auction, but those aren't the only amazing deals over at Pristine Auction. They've got daily auctions with hundreds of cool swag items that are perfect for any fan cave for fans or managers of any player. They guarantee authenticity, and just as important, it's affordable. Most people think cool gear like this is beyond their means, but the truth is, a lot of items are much more affordable than you might think, including a signed Ravens helmet from PPR legend Derek Mason, who I had to pick because all the current Ravens made me too angry over the weekend. And that item went for under $100 just this weekend. They've got tons more on the site where it's quick and free to register and also free to bid. When you head to the site, enter Fantasy Pros, all one word, in the registration code field located at the top of the page. It's totally free, and when you use the code, you'll get a free $5 credit. So sign up at pristineauction.com today. Again, that's PRISTINE auction.com. Yates, give me your tight end.
This was difficult because you look at a lot of the top tight ends and you're like, okay, well, it'd be kind of cheating to just say like they're league winners. And then once you get outside of like the top, what, like 5, 6, 7 guys, then it's really like, okay, any of these guys could kind of emerge. So I went with the schedule for Miami again, and I went with Mike Gesicki here. Where we look at 11 targets this past week, starting to get back involved in the offense, and then great matchups up against the Jets in week 15, then the Saints and the Titans in the fantasy playoffs there. So I look at Mike Gesicki as one of these guys that people are going to be kind of confused on what to do with him. A couple weeks ago, I was getting questions like, should I be cutting Mike Gesicki? And honestly, I was kind of like, sure, like it depends on who for, but I'm not opposed to it. At this point now, I'm going, all right, let's hold on just a second here. Let's look ahead to the schedule. And I think there's actually some use here for Mike Gesicki for holding on to him through the fantasy playoffs.
Have you seen enough out of Tua to be comfortable with both Waddle and Gesicki as league winners?
Absolutely. I mean, Tua over the past several games has just been playing lights out football. And I think that I definitely think he's one of these guys that can sustain fantasy value for Waddle, for Parker when he's back and fully healthy, assuming out of the bye. And then Mike Gesicki too. I feel like all three of those guys absolutely can have fantasy relevance.
Tua over the month of November, highest completion percentage in NFL history through the month of November. Just insane. I'm with you, Yates. I have no concern.
That's pretty good. I do want to mention just on the Dolphins, both for Waddle and Gesicki, that their second matchup with the Patriots is week 18. So we're assuming that most championships are week 17. There are leagues out there where the championship is in week 18. If that is the case for your league, then just be aware of that they are going to go up against arguably the best defense in football, at least in the way they're playing the last couple of weeks. Ray, who is your tight end?
Yeah, my tight end is going to come from the Baltimore Ravens, and I'm talking about Mark Andrews. And his end of the, let me say this, the Ravens schedule to end the season is not a pleasant one, all right? They've got Cincinnati, Green Bay, Cleveland, Green Bay, Cincinnati, and the Rams. And what I believe is going to happen is we've been predicting this Rashad Bateman breakout. Bateman is going to blow up, and you see the Ravens trying to throw the ball to these they need to get back to what the Ravens do. Run the ball and utilize your tight ends down the seam. If you watched that game last Sunday, Mark Andrews was a Lamar Jackson behind the back throw away from another touchdown. He had Mark Andrews down the seam, which would have been at least a 40-yard touchdown. Mark Andrews over the past, what is he getting? 9 targets, 10 targets, 10 targets, 8 targets, 7 targets, 13 targets versus Indianapolis. Again, down the stretch, I'm chasing the opportunity. And right now, what's working for the Ravens or what they think they're doing, it's not working. They need to get back to featuring the tight end. Mark Andrews is the tight end one and the wide receiver one for the Baltimore Ravens. And I have full confidence that coming off of that loss to Pittsburgh, they are going to get back to doing what works well for them, which is run the ball, feature the tight end. I want Mark Andrews down the stretch. I do believe he's going to help people win fantasy championships this year.
Yeah, it's a great point on Bateman, because I think a lot of people were kind of hoping for or expecting maybe even that sort of Justin Jefferson-esque second half breakout as the rookie wide receiver who went in the 20s. A lot of those similar factors seem to be at play for him, but it just clearly is not happening even remotely close to that. And I think you're right. I mean, Lamar has loved throwing to Andrews from day one. He famously threw all four interceptions against the Browns 2 weeks ago while targeting Mark Andrews. So he is in the mindset where he's willing to force feed the ball to Andrews, especially if his receivers aren't getting open. And for as great as Hollywood Brown looked early in the year, Sammy Watkins had a couple of nice plays. We had these expectations for Bateman. Andrews has been by far the most consistent guy in this passing game the entire season. He had only 20 yards in week one. Ever since then, he's been really remarkably consistent. Only a couple of games over 100 yards, but a lot of 50 receiving yards, 60 receiving yards, 70 receiving yards, most of those with touchdowns. So he's definitely a guy who's been really consistent and still also, despite having the high floor, has the high ceiling as well. The tight end that I wrote down is Dallas Goedert, and this is a guy that people have been waiting on to break out for a while. Obviously Zach Ertz is gone now. He's been getting the targets. He, of course, just blew up here in week 13. So do you guys think that he could be a top five tight end to end the season, Yates?
Who's his quarterback? If it's Gardner Minshew, then I think that he's going to lock on to Dallas Goedert. If it's Jalen Hurts, we've seen how that plays out. We've seen that he's going to rise and fall just like Devontae Smith is, right? He's going to rise and fall as Jalen Hurts does as a passer. So I think with Dallas Goedert, it's difficult for me to get, I thought about him. It's difficult to get on board with him because I do think like there's no quarterback controversy in Philadelphia at this point. It was against the Jets, right? So let's just calm down. So I think with coming out of the bye week, I think we are going to see Jalen Hurts back at quarterback, and then just he's been inconsistent. There are games where he looks tremendous as a passer, and then there are other games like the one against the Giants where we just go, none of these receiving options are going to do anything. So I'm not ready to call Dallas Goedert a league winner at the tight end position yet based on what we saw here this past week with Gardner Minshew at quarterback.
Ray, give me a defense you'd like to stash.
Ooh, defense I would like to stash. Probably, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to stick with Philadelphia. I think the Eagles, and that NFC East is just as much of a crapshoot as any other conference, but they've got Washington football team twice. They've got the Giants. They've got the Dallas Cowboys. Those are all exploitable matchups. Now, Dallas, maybe not so much. They got a lot of pass-catching weapons. But the Giants, the football team with Heinicke, I think you still want. And the Eagles' defense has been super opportunistic as well. They're getting turnovers, picking the ball off. And you got Darius Slay running those back for touchdowns. I would stash Philly down the stretch.
Yates, I'm just looking into my crystal ball and expecting that you agree.
I do agree. This is a great call, right? Because I also wrote down the Eagles defense, and I went to find a team that it's not owned in the majority of leagues, right? Someone who is kind of out there on waiver wires in different leagues there. So the Eagles, absolutely, because of those matchups, those are not ones that particularly scare me. You know, Washington has been playing well as of late, but it's not a team that's going to drop 30, to 40 points on you, right? So the Eagles is one that I do think is worthy of a stash.
I'll just run through a couple others real quickly. The Saints, which they are under 50% rostered. They get Carolina in week 17. The Browns get the Steelers in week 17. They're about 40% rostered. The Packers get those Browns in week 16 with the way Baker Mayfield's playing. Could be a good one. They're under 30% rostered. The Chiefs get the Steelers in week 17. The Bears get the Seahawks in week 16 and the Giants in week 17. And the Chargers get the Texans in week 16 and the Broncos in week 17. Let's move on to the rookie class breakdown. And obviously, we have a lot of time between now and when you actually have to do your dynasty rookie drafts or startup leagues or whatever sort of dynasty format you're in. But it's a good time of year to start thinking about that, maybe thinking about some of the players you can keep an eye on during bowl season. So I just want to do a quick breakdown right off the bat of sort of how this rookie class differs from the 2021 class at some of the various positions. So Ray, I'll start with you. What differences do you see from 2021 to 2022 in terms of the rookie running backs?
I think we're in for another top-heavy running back class and then trying to figure out who the Ramondre Stevensons and the Elijah Mitchells are in this class. I don't think any of the top running backs in 2021, I don't think any of us would rate them ahead of Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, or Javonte Williams. I'll just say that. I like Isaiah Spiller. I like Breece Hall. I like Zach Charbonnet and Kyren Williams, but we're putting those guys up against 2021, or even you don't want to put them up against 2020. I think we're looking at solid running backs who are going to be solid fantasy producers, but I'm having a very, very difficult time right now at this early stage of the evaluation process, seeing true difference makers, seeing top 12, top 15 running backs that we're going to be excited to draft in fantasy football drafts next year. A lot of projecting down the line, but I don't think it's nearly as good as 2021 at the top end.
Yeah, and I'll say this for the running backs, but it's certainly true of every position where destination is going to matter so much, but it's particularly for running backs because they have to go to a place that a team that's willing to make them the bell cow or at least give them a chance or touches that doesn't have a veteran that's going to get in the way. I mean, we've been so frustrated by running backs by committee over the recent seasons that it'll be really important, if you have a Javonte Williams that you really like in this class, to hopefully not get stuck next to a Melvin Gordon if you want to be really high on him in your drafts. So, Yates, how do you feel about the running back class?
Yeah, so my work with the 2022 class, I did a lot in summer scouting, so I've studied the guys that Ray mentioned there, but throughout the NFL season, I just cannot keep as close of a pulse as Ray can on the class. So my biggest takeaway from summer scouting and then also just kind of keeping a pulse on the situation is that it's just like Ray said, there are very few guys in here that we can kind of say, like Najee Harris last year was like, he's situation proof. Like no matter where he's going to end up, he's going to be a top 10 fantasy football running back sooner rather than later. The rest of the guys fell into, all right, their situation is going to matter immensely. And I think that with Breece Hall, with the guys that you mentioned there, the situation is really going to matter quite a bit. So it's not as strong of a class as we had, definitely not in 2020, not even as 2021. But I think there will always be these gems that kind of pop up there, like the Ramondre Stevensons, like the examples that you use there, right? Where we look back and we say, okay, these guys turn into valuable contributors, but we need to get into the evaluation process before we can unearth those.
100%. I think that's going to be the key, Yates. I think the top guys, Kenneth Walker, Breece Hall, Isaiah Spiller, rank them how you want. I'm not going to spend a lot of time this year doing right. that game.
Yep.
It's finding Michael Carter, finding Ramondre Stevenson, finding Elijah Mitchell. Tell me where those guys are, and that's the information I need to be listening to for 2022.
This season, we've seen a lot of great performances from the rookie receivers in the first round. A couple of years ago, in 2019, we saw a lot of great performances from guys taken on day two, DK Metcalf, AJ Brown. How does this receiver class stack up to a couple of recent pretty good ones that we've had, Ray?
I'll say this, and I do not want to speak out of turn. I don't want to be prisoner of the moment. A lot of people that I trust that put in the work that do this for a living say this is probably the best wide receiver class since 2014. It Wow. is good. And what's different about this than 2021 and even 2020 to a certain extent is you have every archetype of wide receiver. You want the small speedster? You got it. You want the big, ginormous 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", big body possession receiver? You got him. You want your technicians, you're kind of under the radar, Rashad Bateman, real savvy, maybe not great at any one thing, but good at everything. You got that guy in this class and David Bell as well. I'm telling you, I believe we see 5 to 6 wide receivers drafted in round one of the NFL draft come next spring. I am salivating over this wide receiver class. I mean, there are some true studs. Now, they may not be Jamar Chase level, but they're right underneath that. I mean, the top two guys in 2022, Yates, you know my love for the Slim Reaper, Devonta Smith. I'd take both Treylon Burks and Drake London over Devonta Smith without hesitation. This 2022 wide receiver class is special, but that's the way the college game is trending. We're going to continue to see wide receiver classes just be flooded with talent because of how the high school and the collegiate games are changing. 2021 is special at wide receiver.
Yeah, I was going to ask, and you touched on it, like, is there that true, like, that Julio Jones type, the Jamar Chase type, where people are talking about them as a top five guy? It sounds like no, so I guess I would ask, of the 5 or 6 guys that you think could go in the first round, how many of those do you think will go in the top half of the first round, or is this going to be a pretty wide receiver-heavy back half of the first round in the NFL draft?
You're going to see a couple of those guys go top 15. I can assure you of that, especially after some of these Sajas-adjusted freaks run 4.3, run 4.4, And this is what I need people to understand. The Ja'Marr Chases and the Julio Joneses, and even with Ja'Marr Chase, we don't know what he's going to be long term. I don't really feel good saying that, because we thought AJ Brown was going to be that, and he has done absolutely nothing this season. So I want to tread with caution when we're putting Ja'Marr Chase in that category right now. But as a prospect, fantastic prospect, best player in the 2021 class at the position. But even if you don't get him, I don't think anybody listening to this show would be upset about having Jaylen Waddle, who was viewed as a far inferior prospect than Ja'Marr Chase is. So if you're telling me you got a bunch of Elijah Moores and Devonta Smiths and Jaylen Waddles that are a notch below the prospect that Ja'Marr Chase was, that's still pretty doggone special, man.
Yates, are you as excited about the receiver class as Ray is?
So this one is one that I have not had as much time to dive into. So I will say that up front. However, my work in summer scouting did make me pretty excited for this class. Now, I was not going to go to the level of saying that it is the best class since 2014. I love 2020's class. I love 2021. So I think I'm going to have to get into it and then come away and say, okay, yes to that or no to that. It's good to hear that there are several different types of receivers in this class, right? That fit every kind of archetype, like you said, because last year there were like one or two guys. We had the Ja'Marr Chase and then Jaylen Waddle to an extent, but the bigger outside receivers, we really did not have that. And then we had a bunch of like slot guys, and that was really the majority of the class. And then we were trying to make these other guys up at the receiver position. Like we were talking about Jonathan Adams Jr. out of Arkansas, you know, just because he was a big wide receiver who could make contested catches, and he turned out to go undrafted and has done nothing. So I think it's really encouraging to hear that there are plenty of different types of receivers in this class, because that's just going to make it super, super deep. And it's also going to be really interesting because the order, typically there's a consensus in order of these guys, but if there are so many different receivers, the consensus is going to be all over the place this draft season, because it's all going to depend on what type of receiver that you value.
There will be, Yates, I'm just preparing you now, as far as consensus, we will have none at quarterback or wide receiver. I mean, zero consensus this draft season.
Makes for some good debates, though.
Yeah,
so let's have
zero
some
consensus. Zero.
And that's going to make fit matter just as much as it might for a running back, where is this the type of receiver that a particular team has really been missing? Is this the archetype of receiver that a team likes to use a lot? So that will be particularly interesting as well when we get the actual NFL draft. Obviously, there's no Kyle Pitts in this draft class at tight end. Are there any tight ends worth mentioning? You know, historically, clearly, rookie tight ends don't really make a big impact a lot of the time. They don't usually go as high as receivers do, unless you're a Kyle Pitts type, which, again, there isn't going to be in this class. And if there aren't any names, Ray, then that's fine. But are there?
You've got Jalen Wiedermeyer, Trey McBride from Colorado State, Isaiah Likely from Coastal Carolina. But those guys, I mean, they'd be ranked under, some of them may be ranked under Hunter Long for some folks going into the draft. I mean, you want Freiermuth, you want Pitts, go out and get Dawson Knox. You know, I don't know. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about the tight ends, because there just aren't that level of prospect in this class.
All right, let's move on from the tight ends then. I'm fine with that. Quarterbacks, obviously, it has been talked a lot about how this is a down quarterback class compared to some of the last couple of years. There's not that one obvious guy who's going to go number one overall in the NFL draft. So Ray, I'll ask you again, on the quarterbacks from a fantasy perspective, are you interested in any of these guys, or is it sort of a crapshoot?
This is where I think people are going to have the most discourse this draft season. And I don't think we should, because I think there are five talented quarterbacks that should make for some decent NFL quarterbacks to help some teams win some games. Fantasy football, you got a lot of fingers crossed. I hope this player can be better than Jalen Hurts, but you probably have a lot of Mac Joneses in this class. You've got a lot of quarterbacks that can deliver from the pocket, that are going to give you a zero on the ground. They need to have everything fall right within their NFL situations for them to be a Drew Brees, a Tom Brady, and I'm using just that archetype of quarterback, right? That Kirk Cousins, that can get it done from the pocket without any kind of rushing mobility. You know, a lot of names you're going to hear, Malik Willis, good luck. If that's your first round pick at quarterback, good luck. Matt Corral, love him. He's my QB1. And then you got Carson Strong, who probably is the best pure passer in the class, but will give you a negative 600 rushing yards on the season. I mean, he's not running anywhere. You know, names like Kenny Pickett, good NFL quarterback class. Fantasy, I really, and I don't say this just because I'm that guy. I hope you got Mac Jones or Zach Wilson or Trey Lance in 2021. I hope you got Tua in 2020, and you may be wanting to have Jalen Hurts over some of these quarterbacks from 2022 from a fantasy perspective, because I'm putting the stamp on it now. You'll know who the QB1 is when their name is called on draft night, because I don't think anybody's going to be able to decide who it's going to be.
I think Yates just felt a cold chill when you said there's going to be a class full of Mac Joneses. Not exactly what we want to hear from a fantasy perspective. Yates, is there anybody that stands out to you early on, or are you kind of avoiding this if you're in a rookie dynasty draft?
Yeah, really interesting class, because we had Spencer Rattler kind of towards the top, and then he just completely fell off and entered the transfer portal already. So this is one of the guys that we thought we were going to have towards the top of the class, maybe in that running for the number one overall pick. And he's no longer, you know, he's not going to even enter the draft this year. And then Sam Howell is one that we, Ray didn't touch on, but he was one that I liked in summer scouting, but I have no idea what he's done so far this year to kind of cement that. He had several key players leave from North Carolina this past year into the NFL. So yeah, it's really one of these classes. I did not come away impressed with Malik Willis in summer scouting, one of these guys that I thought needed a ton of development. So I would not be surprised if he even stays another year. It's one of these classes that if you're trying to say, like, and this is really what we're trying to do at this point of the game, is like, what does it compare to in previous years? Give me 2020, give me 2021 for sure over 2022.
So when you guys are making dynasty trades, which are the only leagues for the most part that you can still make trades at this point in the season, how much are you, if you're including draft picks, thinking about the specific rookie class, or are you just thinking about, in general, a first round pick is worth X amount of value? Or are you trying to sit down and say, well, I really need a receiver, and it's a strong receiver class, or it's a super flex dynasty league and I really need a quarterback and they stink, so maybe I don't want a first round pick? How much are you trying to weigh that when you're making trades at this point in the season, Yates?
This is part of the fun of Dynasty, is that there are so many different ways to approach trading the first round picks specifically, right? Let's talk about first round, because once you get into the second round, third round, that's just a complete crapshoot at this point of the game. So I think when you're talking about making the trades for players and giving up first round picks, I do think that you have to at least take the overall strength of the class into account, but also I think at this point I would prefer the players, and then that can help me this year, and then I'll figure out how to get that first round pick back later on, right? That's kind of the way that I will take this approach. But I think it's a dangerous game to be able to say, like, all right, I'm looking at this top five pick because the wide receiver class seems stacked, because we always see that some of these names that are talked about as they're going to enter into the NFL draft, surprise returns, right? And they come back to school. So that's something where it's a dangerous game to say, like, all right, I'm going to make this trade for a top five pick because I'm going to get, you know, Garrett Wilson, the wide receiver out of Ohio State or whatever. And then it suddenly comes out, oh wait, he's a surprise return to school. And then suddenly that wide receiver class doesn't look as strong without one of these key players in it. So we see that all the time. It's not, you know, common, but we see it from here from time to time. So I think it's a dangerous game to make those trades where you are assuming the strength of a class at this point. I will take the players. I'll take the players at this point of the game, and then I'll figure out how to get that first round pick back or a different first round pick.
Yeah, Ray, what's your strategy here?
Yates and I, Dynasty, very much the same. I love rookies. That's sort of how I built my whole thing, is prospect analysis. Love it. But if you're telling me right now I can get David Montgomery right now for a first round pick, I'm taking David Montgomery. Like, I'm taking the stud running back that I've seen produce at the NFL level. It's there's no right or wrong way to do it, right? It's just risk. It's how much risk are you willing to hold, to assume, to move away from? First round picks are valuable, period. 1 through 12, value. How much value is it going to take in return to get you to move off of that pick? Therein lies the question. What I always tell people is, if you've got three first round picks in a rookie draft, if you make all three selections, you did it wrong. You can and should acquire proven talent, even on a down year. And I'm using Chicago, not for Yates, but it's just a good example. Like an Allen Robinson, there's a very good possibility his situation improves tremendously next year, whether that be with Chicago or another team. If you're telling me I can get A-Rob still very much in the prime of his career for David Bell, when right. I don't know what he would be, give me Allen Robinson. It's a simple game to play. And at the end of the day, as Herm Edwards said, you play to win the game. I'm not here to accumulate a bunch of rookie picks and hold them and make all these rookie selections and hopefully I get my favorite player. I want to win, damn it. And the players that help me win are the guys that are on the NFL field that have proven it. I want those guys, but I'm sure Yates and I will have a lot of fun talking about that in the offseason together at some point in time. 2022, it's a solid class, but I want a lot of the players in the NFL that have already produced.
Some great early Dynasty talk here. And again, we are going to be talking a lot more on Dynasty, both on this podcast, the Tuesday show going forward, the next few weeks of the end of the regular season, and of course, a ton in the offseason. And again, remember to follow the Dynasty Football Podcast from Fantasy Pros, hosted by Kyle Yates.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
Let's get in one mailbag question here. @Andre_Joaquin asks if we prefer Nick Chubb or Najee Harris rest of season in PPR. And Yates, I'll start with you.
Nick Chubb or Najee Harris?
Obviously a couple of big names.
Right. Yeah. Can I say both? No, I think that I would prefer at this point Najee Harris. I love Nick Chubb. But did you say it was a full PPR too?
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to break it, right? Where we look at that full PPR and the involvement that Najee Harris has, the workload, the touch totals are just insane. And he might continue to wear down as the season progresses. Pittsburgh's not necessarily going to make a ton of noise, even if they make the NFL playoffs. But I do think that, you know, Najee Harris at this point, I would prefer him because of that involvement in the receiving game, especially in a full PPR. He brings a safer floor.
Ray, do you agree?
100%. Love Nick Chubb. Give me Najee Harris in PPR formats. And his involvement in the passing game, been actually looking competent last week in Pittsburgh vying for a playoff spot. They need to get their best player the ball, and that's Najee Harris.
Before we wrap up, it's time for Yates' favorite part of the show, where I get to ask him a pop culture question. Yates, last week I asked for your favorite holiday episode of all time. Today, I'm just going to keep it simple again and ask for your favorite holiday movie, whether it's for kids, adults, or both. The pick is yours.
All right, so this one is a little bit easier. I will go with White Christmas. That is one that we put on every single year in my family growing up. We put that on Christmas Eve. That is just a tradition that we watch that every single year. And then we will put it on when we're like decorating the tree. And our tree is already up. It's been up for a couple of weeks here in our house. And we watched White Christmas earlier. And there's just something about that. As soon as we put it on, the nostalgia comes back for me. I absolutely love that movie. So yes, favorite holiday movie, that is White Christmas for me.
A classic, a great choice by you, a rare great choice by you.
Thank you.
From the pop culture questions. Ray, how about you? Do you have a favorite?
Oh, yeah. It's 100% the old school Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, the claymation with the Yukon Cornelius and the abominable snowman. The fact that my four-year-old son loves that movie, it just brings me so much joy because that's what I grew up watching. I love it. We've already watched it at least four times since Thanksgiving. So give me the old classic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I need to see Yukon Cornelius take down the abominable snowman.
There is something really quick, Ryan. There is something to that where like you see your son like my son watched White Christmas and, you know, for the first time and like just seeing him like pay attention and actually like trying to sing along to it, man, that just did like my heart.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Much.
I got onions in here. Yep.
I love that you picked that because I actually wrote down two choices for myself. One of them is Die Hard, which we don't need to get into a whole debate, but I do consider it a Christmas movie, and it's probably my favorite action movie of all time, so it's kind of an easy choice if you count it. But the other one was the old claymation Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I love those Rankin Bass specials from however many decades ago they were. I don't have a son, but I am a son, and it brings me back to watching with my parents and my sister just every Christmas. When you ask me about Christmas and holiday movies, it is the first thing my mind mind goes to every time. So it has it holds a very special place in my heart, and I love that you picked it. And I appreciate you guys both indulging me here. Thank you both for a fantastic episode today. I'm hoping everybody listening comes away a little bit smarter. Please remember all the awesome opportunities that we mentioned today, including Beachbound, Feels, and Pristine Auction. And most of all, thank you to the fans for listening. For Yates and Ray, I'm Ryan Warmly. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
A chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
You don't let anything in life hold you back. So why would you let anything stop your vehicle from performing at its full potential? When you use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline, you're removing up to 100% of performance-robbing deposits to rejuvenate your engine's performance. Visit your closest Shell. So make a pit stop and fuel up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline today. With continuous use in gasoline direct injection engine fuel injectors.